It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena Jacinda, how are you?
Morena, well, sorry about cutting off a track.
That's all right, that's all right. There's always time for Kim Deal at a different point in the day. we're going to chat to you about a few things this morning because there's plenty to get through. We're going to talk a little bit about the budget, about Oranga Tamariki and also Iraq. But we spoke to you 2 weeks ago just before the budget was announced. So let's speak to you now. It has been properly announced. There's been a lot of international and local interest in the focus on well-being. We're the first country to do this. I know National brought it in, but as a sort of idea, but it's this coalition government that's really centred it. What are you the most sort of excited about by this budget? What's been the most important thing for you?
And you've displayed excellent prior knowledge of the well-being framework, because you're right. The bit that started before we came in was Treasury starting to use what's called the Living Standards Framework. Basically, all it means is that they were starting to look at other indicators of whether or not we were doing well as a country. What we came in and decided to do was then use that to make budget decisions.
Right.
And so it's all well and good to say, oh, New Zealand's not doing so well on some of our environmental challenges, or, you know, not so well on some of our human capital because we have poor mental health. It's another thing to then say, well, okay, we want to then set that as budget, those as budget priorities and make spending decisions. So to be honest, the thing in this particular budget I'm most proud of is that we used that evidence and we said, okay, now's the time to take those things seriously, particularly mental health.
Mm.
So over $1 billion will go into fundamentally changing particularly primary mental health care. You know, so just to give you an example of the way that it will work, at the moment, you know, we know that a reasonable portion of, for instance, people who take their own lives, they actually aren't in formal mental health care or accessing mental health services. But a lot of people often, you know, when they go to their GP, will often start talking about issues they might be facing, show those signs, and GPs will then, at best, give them a referral letter and send them somewhere else. What we've seen trialled in certain parts of New Zealand, GPs bringing in primary mental health care services into their GP clinics and medical centres. And so we're going to roll that out throughout the country. So that will mean that people will be able to get help right away when they need it and really easily across the country. So that's just one part of the package. And it is something I feel really proud of.
Oh, that's fantastic. It is great to see mental health taking such a you know, centre in this, because it is an epidemic in New Zealand and it's something
it
that, you know, we've been needing to focus on for a long time. So it's great to see that having a real focus in this budget. Now, I know you've said that you're not going to comment on the security breach that saw details of the budget being made public ahead of the official announcements. But there has been quite a bit of criticism of Treasury. Do you have confidence in Treasury right at this moment?
Yeah, look, I do, because their primary job are things like the budget. When it comes to, though, the security of the website, I mean, obviously that's something that needs to be fixed, and so that's something I do have concerns over. And so for those matters and the issue itself of it being accessed, that's the part that I'm just leaving to the State Services Commission. I don't want to draw judgment before we see the outcome of that. But, you know, for me, I'm keeping in mind, obviously, that their bigger job is, of course, things like the budget, and on that front, they did an incredible job.
So you are confident in them despite this?
Yeah. Except, of course, you know, question mark for me still at the moment over the security of some elements of the website access and so on. Not New Zealanders' data, but just those things. And those obviously are things that I'm just waiting, though, to see the outcome of that report. So I'm not going to jump to any conclusions there. So a few questions there, but more broadly, the job they do day to day, yes, I do.
All right, that's great. Shall we talk about Oranga Tamariki? Because this is a huge and really important topic at the moment. So yesterday, Newsroom's Melanie Reid revealed a very traumatic story of Māori children being uplifted from their whānau in a very bureaucratic and distressing way by Oranga Tamariki. You yourself have called this horrific, and we're being told that this happens three times a week in Aotearoa to Māori babies. So what is the government doing to turn this around? Because these are shocking numbers.
Yeah, and look, ultimately, we should aspire to have a situation where no children are removed. So my reference to horrific, having children in those situations where they're removed from their families, well, it is no question traumatic. And you can, of course, there are things that are done to try and, you know, to try and reduce that down. But it is an incredibly tough thing to do. We would, of course, want a situation where no one's ever removed. And so what we're trying to do is start investing more in the prevention side. So I visited recently a program, Oranga Tamariki is starting, where they reduce down the workload of a social worker so that they can focus much, much more on working with families who might be at risk of having children removed. They work really intensively with them. They spend time giving them parental support and putting around services around them. And so that...
Oh, hello? Hello? Oh, I think we might... Oh, no, are you still there?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, hello. That's all right. We just cut out for a split second there.
I'm in the rural Waikato.
Oh. Patchy reception. sorry, you were saying about the... I think this is the thing that the media has been referring to as like super nannies quite often, the sort of bringing social workers into the families. Is this right?
5,000 kids who are in state care at any time. Of course, we want to change that. But some children are removed because of safety issues. But working on preventing that, that's got to be the goal.
And now there is some serious debate, though, about the disproportionate effect that this has on Māori. Some critics are arguing that it's a continuation of colonial interventions from the state, and some are even calling it New Zealand's stolen generation, referring to the terrible things that happened in Australia to the Indigenous population there. How do you respond to those concerns? How is this happening to Māori, and how can we, you know, prevent this?
Well, obviously the prevention side I've just touched on a little bit there. And of course, Oranga Tamariki, they were reviewed very recently, and one of the things that came through strongly is the need to build greater relationships and ties with iwi, and also with children who do find themselves in unsafe situations who may need to be rehomed, making sure that we put a lot more work into finding whānau who can support them, so that children are placed within their, within ideally their wider iwi, or within their wider whānau or within iwi. And so that's something that we've also supported Oranga Tamariki to have the resources to be able to find those whānau connections if there's a situation where a child for safety reasons is being placed in a new home.
So one of the things that I think a lot of people were really concerned about, particularly this newsroom story and the video that was revealed alongside that as well, is some of the interactions with Oranga Tamariki social workers and the whānau have not been exemplary in any way, shape or form. So how do you ensure that is not happening, that we don't have these sort of traumatic ways of dealing with families?
Yeah, and that's where, of course, we need to make sure that social work practice, it just, you know, they just can't, you know, it's really an incredibly difficult job, but we've got to constantly make sure that we've got that professional development, that we have that supervision for those social workers. And so that's something as well. Oranga Tamariki, I believe, in some recent cases have been looking into what occurred in those cases, because we have to be willing to admit when things need to be done better and support our staff to ensure that they, you know, can do the job that New Zealanders expect. It is a very tough job, though.
And this is the last question I'll ask on this before we move briefly on to Iraq, is do you think there is a way that a state service like Oranga Tamariki can have a genuine and positive effect for predominantly Māori groups when a lot of interactions between Māori and the state are, you know, traumatic in and of themselves? How do we make sure that a state service is actually able to provide these families, these whānau, with the right kind of support that they want? How do you ensure that is something that the iwi and the whānau want? I know you're saying you want them to be able to have those connections, but do you think that this can genuinely happen?
I've seen the work that's going into to try and do that. It is going to take some time, but for instance, I've been to Hui, where Oranga Tamariki have brought together Māori providers, because they, of course, partner with Māori providers, with iwi representatives, And they do spend a lot of time. They have a Māori advisory board, so they do spend a lot of time trying to not only improve those connections, but use those connections to improve practice as well. So they do, and they are, and do invest a lot of time in those relationships and trying to change the way that they work. They won't always get it right, but I think that they're also acknowledging when that happens too.
Okay, that's great. We'll talk about Iraq briefly now. The coalition government has announced that we're pulling our troops out of Iraq. I understand we've got 95 military personnel over there at the moment. What was the point of them being there in the first place? Was it just training Iraqi soldiers?
Yes, essentially. And they've trained over 44,000 now. It's essentially been a deployment to improve the capability and capacity of local forces within a view to eventually exiting. And so they've been there for, you know, a reasonable period now in order to have trained those individuals, and now are looking to size to downscale. They'll do that in two lots with the endpoint of full withdrawal in June of 2020.
All right. And you're going to leave 11 soldiers in Afghanistan, though, until the end of next year. What will they be doing? Similar things? Or?
So, yeah, an extra 18 months of Afghanistan's a lot more volatile. Mm. There are negotiations underway at the moment between the Taliban and the United States. No one's has fully withdrawn from the alliance that we've been working alongside. We do have, as you say, you know, roughly at the moment we have 13 over there. And again, working in training, predominantly in training roles. We're going to reduce that down a bit and then change our contribution. We're going to seek three roles focused on women and peace and security and reconciliation. And that's just because that aligns with the things we want to be focused on in Afghanistan and trying to be a part of what hopefully will be a future focused on reconciliation. And so looking to put some women and some NATO roles over there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. Thanks for calling
us
from the rural Waikato. Have a lovely day.
Talk soon.
Cheers.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.